Hi, guys. Glad we got your message. You'll be interested to hear it was broadcast live all over Earth, prime time. Got good reviews.
Tumnas Vista.
Dark Star.
Approximately 18.
Oddaję filmu inskrytych stranych filmskiego wesołu.
And you are on the mission of the 21st century planet smashers.
Transformacije Mati Indije. Pozdravljeni v oddaji Temna zvezda, v kateri se tokrat posvečamo reprezentaciji žensk v indijskem filmu. Razmišljali bomo, kako se je ta skozi zgodovino indijske filmske produkcije spremenila, kakšen je položaj ženske v filmski industriji, ter zakaj Bollywood, sicer vodilna indijska filmska industrija, še dolgo ne bo emancipatoren. O vsem tem smo se pogovarjali tudi z indijsko filmsko kritičarko Aswati Gopalakrishnan. Žensko udejstvovanje v performativnih umetnostih je bilo v Indiji ob začetku 20. stoletja še močno zakoreninjen tabu. V gledališču so ženske vloge igrali moški, a indijski režiserji, ki so začeli s filmsko umetnostjo, so v prvih, predvsem nemih filmih vseeno želeli prave ženske igralke. Muslimanke ali hindujske ženske se poklica niso drznile lotiti, zato so vloge sprva najpogosteje prevzemale indijske judinje, včasih pa tudi britanske igralke. Rasna diferenciacija je bila tako pogoj za ženski vstop v neugleden poklic ter pogoj, da se je ugled poklica do določene mere spremenil. Te igralke so nastopale v vlogah modernih indijskih kozmopolitanskih žensk, priljubljene pa so bile tudi zaradi svoje svetlejše polti. A včasih je v kakšnem od filmov nastopila tudi indika. Takšen primer je denimo prvi film malajalamske filmske industrije, industrije države Kerala v južnem delu Indije. Zgodbo s prvim malajalamskim filmom The Lost Child iz leta 1928 nam je zaupala Gopalakrishnan.
Malayalam is one of the most reputed industries, film industries in the country. We make some of the most sensible films, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the first female actress, the first actress in the industry, I forgot the name, her name is Rosi.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened is, there was this man called J.C. Daniel. Okay, he went abroad, he went to England and he learned the filmmaking technique. He learned how to operate a camera, everything. He mm-hmm. came back to Kerala. And he wanted to make a movie. He's a Christian, okay? He's a Christian. And he wanted to make a movie. He put all his life investments into this movie. And he hired a camera. He hired a crew. And he started. He had a script. And it was not yet the talkies. It was still the silent era. So he started making a movie. So he wanted to cast an actress, okay? So he's making the first ever movie in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
People are not familiar with them. They are still used to watch only the theater,
mm-hmm.
only the plays and ballads and stuff. And they are not used to films, cinema at all. So those days, men used to dress up as women and act in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Females were not allowed to act. So there were no actresses in the state. So what he did is, he brought an actress from Mumbai to act in this film. The first film in Malayalam film industry. So this actress could not pronounce a word in Malayalam, in the language. So he had to send her back. So with much difficulty, he convinced a girl from the locality to act in this movie. Her name was Rosi. She is a Dalit. She is a lower caste woman.
Mm-hmm.
So she agreed to act. But the role she is supposed to play was that of an upper caste woman. She had to play the role of an upper caste woman in this movie. So what happened was, the movie he made, the J.C. Daniel, he shot the film. He arranged the first ever screening of the film. And that screening was the screening, the whole theater, the makeshift theater was burned down by the upper caste people because they couldn't take a lower caste woman playing the role of an upper caste, character. So they burned down the theater. So they attacked Rosie's relatives. Mm-hmm. They are very, very poor people who work on paddy fields. So eventually, Rosie had to run away from Kerala. Rosie had to leave the land and she had to run away.
Po vzponu tako imenovanih masala filmov, svojevrstnih mešanic igre, plesa, petja ter romantike, po drugi svetovni vojni s še večjim razmahom pa predvsem po indijski neodvisnosti, ko je nastopilo zlato obdobje indijskega filma, se je število igralk druge rase zmanjšalo v prid igralkam indijskega porekla. A so kot takšne več desetletij ostale ukalupljene v tipičnih vlogah žensk bogin po vzoru hindujske mitologije. Izrazito moškocentrični filmi so vzpostavljali mite o idealni indijski ženski. Raznolikost v reprezentaciji pa ni segala dlje od vlog patriarhalno podrejenih in moškemu pripadajočih mater, hčera ali žena. Šlo je torej za neomadeževana, krepostna utelešenja morale, zvestobe, ponosa in moči. Ženski liki, praviloma v stranskih vlogah, so bodi si pripadali glavnemu moškemu junaku ali pa letemu predstavljali končno nagrado ob zaključeni junaški zgodbi. Še bolj podrejena in manj vredna reprezentacija je v filmih tega obdobja doletela like pakistanskih ali afganistanskih žensk. Takšen prototip je podaril tudi film Mother India, režiserja Mehbuba Khana iz leta 1957, ki je v ospredje postavil revno cankarjansko mater s podeželja, osebo brez kančka veselja v življenju, večno trpečo in jokajočo, venomer pripravljeno na razdajanje in oproščanje. Film se močno referira na hindujsko mitologijo, izpostavljen je koncept ženske kot zemlje ter ženske kot življenja. Zaradi mitoloških navezav vloga matere transcendira v vlogo matere indijskega naroda ter kulture. Mati v tovrstni poosebitvi kljub trpljenju za lastne otroke po božje oduzame življenje, ki ga je sama ustvarila, če otrok ne spoštuje pravil družbe in kulture. S tem na prvo mesto postavi red, skupnost ter svojo čast. Film, ki nosi močne socialistične konotacije mučeništva za revolucijo, pa tako lik matere uporabi za narodno krepitev političnih idealov. Kot nasprotje liku idealne ženske se je v filmih vzpostavila antijunakinja v vlogah fatalkalih prostitutk, torej nekakšna druga, moralno degradirana in inferiorna ženska. Tem likom pa so bile pripisane zahodnjaške vrednote neprilagojenosti tradiciji, prešuštva, kajenja, pitja ter seveda izražanja lastne seksualnosti. Tovrstna demonizacija je za omenjene karakterje pogosto izbrala zahodne igralke. Te so bile erotizirane, fetišizirane in jih je, kot nekakšna višja kazen, doletel tragičen konec. Napram tovrstnim reprezentacijam se je ob mainstream filmski produkciji v 70-ih kot odziv realizma začel vzpostavljati tako imenovani paralelni film, ki je ženske začel postavljati v raznovrstne vloge, obenem pa naredil odstop od že tradicionalnih idealizacij in fetišizacij. Takšni so denimo filmi Sita Aur Gita Rameša Sipija iz leta 1972, Anti režiserja Gunzarja iz leta 1975 ter Art Mahesha Bhatta iz leta 1982. Ti prikazujejo ženske boje za neodvisnost ter žensko svobodo v seksualnosti. Ženske v njih so morda še vedno podrejene, a se zavedajo lastne pozicije in zahtevajo enakopravnost, obenem pa načenjajo vprašanje šovinizma ter hinavščine patriarhata. Pomemben glas so si s podobnimi filmi v 90-ih pridobile tudi ženske avtorice, denimo režiserki Deepa Mehta in Meera Nair. A popularna filmska produkcija je poleg vloge idealnih mater in žena v podobnem obdobju našla novo nišo, ki jo je pisateljica Arundhati Roy leta 1994 v svoji kritiki filma Bandit Queen Shekarja Kapurja poimenovala kar The Great Indian Rape Trick. Gre namreč za dejstvo, da je veliko število filmov mainstream produkcije v svojo zgodbo na tak ali drugačen način skorajda pregovorno upletla posilstvo.
Tako so nastajali bodi si filmi, v katerih antijunak v boju z glavnim junakom kot maščevanje posili njegovo žensko, njeno čast pa glavni junak kasneje obsesivno rešuje, ali pa tako imenovani rape revenge filmi, raznolike predelave hollywoodskega v posteli s sovražnikom Josepha Rubena. Ženska je v teh filmih močno uokvirjena, bodi si kot nemočna žrtev, za katero poskrbi moški, ali pa kot posiljena ženska, katere slashersko maščevanje in viktimizacija sta v zgodbah sporno predstavljena kot žensko opolnomočenje.
Prizor posilstva je bil v 80-ih in 90-ih skoraj da nepogrešljiv del filma, saj so prikazi posilstva v obliki erotiziranega nasilnega akta v omenjenih filmih privabljali občinstvo. Žensko telo je bilo tako še enkrat zlorabljeno za voajersko-sadistične poglede, prizor pa je služil kot skomine vzbujajoč obrat v trilerskem žanru. Poprej omenjen film Bandit Queen je denimo ekranizacija biografije Pulan Devi, resnične zgodovinske osebnosti indijske banditke iz najnižje kaste, ki se je prek delovanja v tolpah, izkušnje množičnega posilstva ter naslavljanja letega v indijski kulturi zapisala kot svojevrstna zatirana Robin Hoodovska feministična figura. A filmska uprizoritev, kot je v svoji kritiki poudarila Arundhati Roy, se je po principu trenda usmirila na posilstvo ter ga brez posvetovanja s takrat še živečo Devi prikazala na povsem moškemu pogledu podrejen, trilersko erotiziran način, pri katerem žrtev ob maščevanju tudi sama postane okrutna in surova pošast.
Kot nekakšen odgovor paralelnega filma na omenjen trend je leta 1987 nastal film Mrč Masala Ketana Mehte, ki je eden izmed prvih razbil mit o patriarhalnem sistemu kot branilcu ženske časti, z neposrednim kritičnim prikazom usode ženske iz kolonialne Indije, ki jo vaške oblasti želijo za voljo lastne dobrobiti podariti pobiralcu davkov, ki si je poleg davkov poželel tudi vaških žensk.
S prihodom 90-ih in večjo komercializacijo ter neizmirnim razmahom indijskih filmskih industrij, predvsem pa Bollywooda, se poprejšnje idealistične reprezentacije žensk spremenijo le v določenem odtenku, saj se, tudi zaradi filmskih predelav in posledično izposojanja hollywoodskega portretiranja žensk, pozahodnijo. Ženski liki v filmih postanejo pomankljivo oblečeni seksualni objekti. Telo se torej začne povezovati z dobičkom. Ženske so sicer lahko v glavnih vlogah, a so podrejene moškemu pogledu. Ker se v zgodbah ženske še vedno želi prikazati do primerne mere ustrezajoče moralnim normam in idealom, so v filme režiserji uvedli tako imenovane item songs, umestne plesno-pevske vložke, najpogosteje zakamuflirane kot sanske sekvence. Ti sicer v filmski pripovedi ne nosijo pravega pomena in zgolj opravljajo funkcijo entertainmenta, uporabnega tudi za trailer in promocijo filma prek popularne pesmi. V njih nastopajo povsem erotizirane igralke, pesmi pa na sto in en način namigujejo na spolnost ter prikazujejo žensko samoobjektifikacijo v odnosu do moškega. Gopala Krišna nam predstavi koncept tako imenovanih item songs.
So this item dances started appearing. It actually got very popular in early 90s and the late 80s, I would say, late 80s and early 90s. There are actresses like Sridevi and, you know, Madhuri Dixit. They are very beautiful women, great dancers. So they started, the directors started using them in songs, you know. Songs, you know, they were asked to dance to songs with vulgar, very vulgar, sexist kind of lyrics. Oh, there is one song called Choli Ke Piche Kya Hai, which my parents and my relatives used to, you know, ban me from singing this song in the childhood. We all loved singing the song because it's very popular, but we were actually banned from singing the song because the lyrics are so bad, lyrics are so vulgar. So basically the song means what is behind your blouse, what is behind your, yeah, that kind of lyrics. So Madhuri Dixit, she used to be very, I mean, she's still beautiful. She's very popular. She was one, at one point of time, she was the biggest star in the industry. So she would do all these dances. She made this item dances popular, I would say, and her likes in late 80s and 90s, early 90s. So they started doing item dances, which became a very huge deal afterwards. Even till date, actresses do that because that fetched them a very big paycheck. Even big stars, very big stars like Priyanka Chopra, they do item numbers. So that's weird because otherwise they all are advocates of feminism. They speak about feminism all the time, and then they do item songs, which is a very weird contradiction. So that's one thing. Item songs, when this very controversial Delhi rape happened in 2012, mm-hmm. So during that time, during the protests against the rape and stuff was happening in Delhi, there was a very wide outcry against item dances. So people wanted item dances to be banned. They said it objectifies women. It's a very sexist way, you know, to call women. There are songs in which women sing things like "I am a bottle of rum, come and have me," and things like that. You know, so the government and activists. I mean, the activists. And the general public, there was a public outcry to ban item dances, but it never happened. Mm-hmm. So at that time, a lot of actresses and actors and everyone, they came forward and said, we will not do item dances anymore. But it's still happening. Item dances is still happening in all the film industries, not just Bollywood.
Omenjene pesmi, sporne že v imenu, saj žensko poimenujejo z item, torej stvarjo oziroma predmetom, so v funkciji nadomestile prizore posilstva. V njih je žensko telo podobno zlorabljeno, moški pa žensko obsesivno nadleguje ali celo zalezuje, dokler se mu ne podredi. Bollywood je tako pomagal vzdrževati, erotizirati in legitimirati koncept if-teasinga, slengovskega eufemizma, ki se v Indiji uporablja za milejše oblike pouličnega spolnega nadlegovanja. O pojavu je bila v povsem afirmativni maniri leta 2008 posneta celo otroška celovečerna animacija Roadside Romeo. Seksualne implikacije glasbenih vložkov tako pogosto utrjujejo miselnost no means yes.
Pri drugačnih prikazih žensk v zadnjih letih vedno bolj ustrajajo nekomercialne oziroma nebolivudske filmske produkcije. Obenem pa je, kot nam je povedala Gopala Krišnan, velika mera kritike po primeru množičnega posilstva in umora študentke v Delhi v leta 2012 padla tudi na Bollywood, ki zdaj pod krinko napredka in feminizma včasih zastavi reklamno samooklican emancipatorni film z žensko vlogo v glavni vlogi, a prikazi žal ne zaidejo dlje od plitkih simbolov svobodomiselnih žensk.
Kot izjemno problematično lahko izpostavimo tudi dejstvo, da se v popularni filmski produkciji poleg seksizma temu pridružuje tudi rasizem. Igralke lahko namreč v večini primerov dobijo glavno vlogo v filmu le, če so svetlejše polti. Indik izrazitejše temnejše polti pa v tovrstnih filmih skoraj da ne ugledamo. Pogosto pride tudi do tako imenovanega whitewashinga, ko vloge Indik igrajo svetlopolte tujke brez indijskega porekla. Gopala Krišnan spregovori o problematiki obsedenosti industrije in gledalcev s svetlo poltjo.
The country, the people, the society wants fair-skinned girls. The boys, it's okay. Even if the boy is little dark-skinned, it's okay. Boys can be anything, but the girls, even if they are doctors or lawyers or prime minister, she has to be, you know, fair-skinned. So India produces the largest number of fairness cream brands, I believe. India is one of the biggest markets in the world of fairness creams and skin whitening products and stuff. So across the Indian film industry, you will find only fair-skinned actresses. Rarely would you find an actress whose skin color is like that of Frida Pinto, you know Frida Pinto, the Slumdog Millionaire actress. So she's one of the dark-skinned actresses in India. So again, you know, even if a man, you know, he could get only a dark-skinned wife, he would want to see a fair-skinned actress on screen. You know, even if he's married to a dark-skinned girl, he would still want to see a fair-skinned actress. The film industry, it's strictly for fair-skinned women. You, especially in our part of the country, it's like if you see a girl who has a very fair skin, people would actually go to her and ask, you can actually act in movies.
Naštejmo nekaj filmov zadnjih let, ki so prikaz žensk v indijskem filmu popularni produkciji na okljub dvignili na občutno višjo raven. To so Pink iz 2016, Anirudhe Roya Chowhuria, Queen Vikasa Bala iz 2013, English Vinglish Gorya Shindeya iz 2012, Kahani Sujoya Ghosha iz 2012, Angry Indian Goddesses Pana Nalina iz 2015, Margarita with a Straw Shonali Boseya in Nilesha Maniarja iz 2014, Mary Kom Omunga Kinarja iz 2014, Piku Sujita Sirakarja iz 2015 ter No One Killed Jessica Raja Kumarja Gupte iz 2011.
Omenjeni filmi kljub raznovrstnim pomankljivostim, predvsem v precej generično oziroma popularno zastavljenih scenarijih, prikazujejo emancipirane, neporočene spolno aktivne ženske z lastnimi karierami, naslavljajo spolno nasilje ter so izjemno kritični do patriarhalnih struktur, ki jih v zadnjih letih v Indiji še dodatno krepi desna vlada Narendre Modija. In čeprav se zdi, da so filmi s feministično vsebino v Indiji v zagonu, je seveda treba poudariti, da ima lahko tudi tovrstna označba marketinško vrednost. Tako v nekaterih filmih žensko emancipacijo pravzaprav omogočijo moški ali pa se emancipacija vzpostavi prek prikaza pogumnega ženskega udejstvovanja v tradicionalno moških športih ali poklicih, pri čemer gre običajno le za mačizem, utelešen v ženskem telesu.
In če smo že pri Narendri Modiju, omenimo tudi državno filmsko cenzuro, Central Board of Film Certification. Ta skrbno izrezuje nazorne prikaze poljubljanja, spolnosti, drog, torej vsega škodljivega, pa tudi politično neprimirnega. Ob prizore kajenja in alkohola v filmih zapisuje opozorila o škodljivosti, pred vsakim filmom pa ponovem zavrtijo tudi državno himno. A če se o prej omenjene erotizirane in objektivizirane prikaze žensk v bollywoodskih blockbusterih, cenzurah in avsko neobrega, pri avtorskih filmih, ki bi zmogli delovati preveč feministično, dovoljenje za distribucijo v celoti zavrne. Takšna usoda je doletela tudi lanskoletna filma Lipstick Under My Burka, Alankrite Shrivastave, ki je sicer izven Indije doživel velik uspeh, ter Ka Bodyscapes Jajana Čerjana. Prvi je bil zavrnjen z razlogom, da je prekomirno žensko usmirjen oziroma lady-oriented, drugi pa zaradi naslavljanja LGBT tematike, ki je v indijskih filmih še vedno popoln tabu.
O cenzuri nam več pove Gopala Krishnan.
There is another movie in Malayalam language. It was about two men, you know, in a relationship. The movie was made in 2015, but it is yet to get a census certificate. So the director, he has almost dropped all the plans to release the movie because he fought a lot, but still he couldn't procure a certificate. So basically, he cannot release the movie anywhere in India. So there are a lot of cases. If the censor board finds issues in films that talk against the country, against the government of the country in any form, like movies on Kashmir issue, for instance, movies that criticize the government is a strict no-no. You can't make movies that criticize the government. And you can't make movies on LGBT issues. You can make movies, but it's a very debatable thing. You know, you can't actually say what the censor board finds an issue with. You cannot say, because it's a very problematic thing. Sometimes they find issues with films that include a word lesbian and might pass a movie that ridicules lesbians.
Indijska filmska industrija zaposluje odločno več moških kot žensk, a se to razmerje vseeno vztrajno manjša. Gopala Krišnan pove več o ženskah v industriji, obenem pa znova poudari nesmiselno delovanje državne cenzure ob tematikah, ki se tičejo žensk.
Resistance is happening. Resistance is happening from across the country. There are more and more women, you know, taking up coming into the industry. They are taking up director's job. They are making films, they are shooting films, you know. More and more technicians are coming up. Women technicians are coming up. So that way, there is a progress. There are more and more women coming into the industry. And more female-oriented films are being shot. But when it comes to, the issues like, what I can say, sexual liberty, mm-hmm. and, a woman choosing her own career. I mean, career is still fine, I guess. It's mostly about their sexual preferences. Mm-hmm. If a LGBT, as he said, homosexuality is a big no-no still in Indian film industry. Recently, I mean, last week something very, very weird and interesting happened. It's like there is a mainstream, a very mediocre movie, which is releasing next week. It's a very mediocre movie. I mean, you can guess it from the trailer itself. It's a low-budget movie about a girl. She gets impregnated by her boyfriend, and this guy is a very responsible man. So she decides to marry another guy. Okay. So basically, she chooses to marry another guy, and not the man who impregnated her. So that's the theme of the movie. And the right-wingers, the right-wing political organizations in India, they protested against this movie, which is very mediocre. And it's a very, it's not even a movie worth watching. Mm. They protested against this movie because they don't want a traditional Indian woman to get influenced by the theme of this movie.
Za konec smo Gopala Krišnan povprašali tudi, kakšno vlogo pri naslavljanju problematik, povezanih s spolom, prevzemajo filmski kritiki.
One bright thing, one very positive thing happening is that more and more women have started to write about films. They've started to point out, sexism in films. They've started pointing out misogyny. For instance, earlier filmmakers used to carelessly use a lot of sexist dialogues in their films. I'm talking about commercial films, okay? Mm-hmm. Mostly commercial that release in the theaters. So earlier filmmakers used to carelessly throw in all sort of sexist dialogues in their movies, but nowadays they are careful. They are careful because people are watching them closely. There are women critics. There are, amateur critics who are not trained at all. They have started watching films closely and pointing out sexist dialogues and say, okay, call it out.
Oddajo Temna zvezda je pripravila Petra Meterc. Brala sva Benjamin in Lorenz, tehniciral je Makis.
Hi, guys. Glad we got your message. You'll be interested to hear it was broadcast live all over Earth, prime time. Got good reviews.
Temna zvezda.
Dark Star.
Oddaja o filmu in skritih stranih filmskega vesolja.
And you are on the mission of the 21st century planet smashers.